Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome, everyone, on live stream and as well as here in the synagogue. My name is Diane, and this is Brother Anthony Cody, and you are watching Ar Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we welcome you, and today we will be, our order of service is a little bit different. Rabbi is still traveling, so we just wish him well and rest and comfort as he's traveling back home. And we will be watching a recording of today, last year, so May 8th, 2020, of our service, as well as the worship. And we'll be doing a few things live up here, so follow along and enjoy, and welcome, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom,
all you Zoomers. We're glad to see you today. This is Rabbi Joe. It's for Zion's Sake Ministries. And this is Rebbetzin Don. And then we have Carol and Diane over there in the corner. Communicating. And
Dina.
Jacob's.
Dina. That's Jacob's daughter over there in the corner.
Oh my goodness.
We are, for Zion's Sake Ministries, we are your local connection to Israel. Hallelujah. We got a great service for you today, so we're going to get underway because we're running late. And so let's start, Miss Dawn.
All right, let's welcome the Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We welcome the Shabbat. We welcome you and your presence in the house. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that by your grace is sufficient for us. And
Hallelujah.
We just ask you to take control, Lord. We put the service in your hands. Yeshua, in your name we pray. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We bind the enemy. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. We just bless the Messiah this morning. Give him honor and glory. And bring a praise, an offering of praise and honor into this house today. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Et Dorech HaYeshua BaMashiach
Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Israel.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Bishamru. Bishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Bishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. B'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam.
Kisheshet yamim asa Adonai, eshmayim ve'aretz.
Veshamru
b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam.
Yom ha-shemi, Shabbat v'yenafash, Shabbat v'yenafash, Shabbat v'yenafash. Veshamru
b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim.
Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom, 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 shalom,
Deborah's going to pray for Jerusalem.
Father God, we come before your throne of grace this morning, Lord, and we ask that you place your arms around all the people in Jerusalem, in Israel, and in our U.S., Lord, all the troubles that are going around this world. But we pray for the peace of Jerusalem today, Lord, and your blood cover each one. Protect the gates, Lord, that none of the enemy will come in, and let the enemy be defeated, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Lord, bless the rabbis today as they're ministering. We ask that your word will go forth with power. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, Lord, to give your life for us. And we pray for that your eyes, their our eyes, and all their eyes that are unbelievers, open their eyes and their hearts to receive you and realize that you are our Messiah. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your love. We thank you for your protection. And we give you all the glory and honor. We love you, Lord. And we look for your soon return. Bo Yeshua, come soon, Lord Yeshua. Amen.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may make my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Avinu, Malkeinu,
Maker of all things,
Maker of all things,
ruling o'er the works
of your hand, of your hand.
You loved us so,
you loved us so. Enjoy our services and you enjoy watching them, and you we invite you to share our ministry with other people, your friends, that you would share our website and our ministry with your friends. Invite them to watch and join us if they don't have a congregation to go to. If you're in this area in Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia, we invite you to come. We're right on the border of those two states, and we invite you to come. So please invite your friends to sign up for our newsletter, my teachings, and to watch our services. God bless you, and Shabbat Shalom. Please rise for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echa, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Be'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha,
V'hayu ha-divarim ha-ele asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivdecha v'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shachbecha u'v'kumecha u'kishartam liot al yadecha v'hayu l'totafot b'nei necha u'chetavtam Al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.
Blessed is his name in his glorious kingdom for all eternity.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might,
and have these words which I command you this day upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. To that is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai Ve'Ein Kamasecha Malchukha Malchukho Olamim Umem Sheltecha Bechol Dor Vador Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Yilok Leolam Va'ed Adonai Oz Yamo Yitein Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Ba'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your kings. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned,
the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people,
the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to move right to the drash this morning. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavora,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Va'ed,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Va'ed,
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bakar Banu Mikol Hamim, Ne'natan Lanu Et Torto,
Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah, Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples
and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Y'all can be, well, you already said it, okay. The lights are on, sorry. Okay, we got a double portion today. And it's the first one, with the first Parsha is Bahar, and it means on the mount. And that's referencing Mount Sinai, not the Temple Mount. And the other portion is Bukata, which means regulations, and it finishes the book of Leviticus. It's the center of the Torah. You know, out of all the earth, there is only one holier place than the place called Israel. And we have seen some, when it comes to the days of the week, that all are the same. You know, the days of the week are all the same. There's 7 days. They're all the same, except in Judaism, the first 6 days are numbers, and then the seventh day is the Shabbat. And, of course, the reason they're all the same is because God chose one day. He made one day, and he set it apart, and he said that is the day of the Shabbat, and that day is holy. When God sets something apart and separates it, it makes it holy because he is God. And you see, that day is set apart from all the other days because, again, it is a day of holiness, a day that is set aside for us to come and worship the Heavenly Father. That's what it's for, is to come. It's a moed to come and be at God's house on his Shabbat. It's what he wishes. And so we see also in the land of Israel, and also in Cana, that was the chosen home that God chose for the Jewish people. Like he chose the Temple Mount, was God's place along with Israel. So those are chosen places for God. But, you know, in this Torah portion, if you read it this week, you'll see that God also has set aside a Shabbat for certain times of the year, or the years that we are to entertain and be observant of those. You see, all the instruction, even though we're still on Mount Sinai, you know, the instructions that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai far exceed just the Ten Commandments that he came down from the mountainside on the tablets of stone. You see, when Moses went to the mount Sinai, God gave him all the commandments, all the mitzvahs was given by God to Moses at that time. He didn't write them all down. That came later. But if you read today, it tells you today that God instructs Moses. He says, when you come into the land, so he's telling Moses back on Mount Sinai, is why I gave you the instruction about when you came into the land, and he's referencing the land of Israel. What were they supposed to do? You see, this Bahar gives us an observance of different, or two types of special services or times of the year. And it's Moses, you know, once again, God is telling Moses, now tell the people, when you come into the land, here is what I want you to do. There are two types of the holy year. The first one is the one that comes every 7 years. It's called a Shemitah, and a Shemitah means to withdraw. A Shemitah is when it happens every 7 years, and how can you tell if it's a Shemitah year? You can take the Hebrew year and divide it by seven, and if it's a whole number, no remainder in it, then it is a year of Shemitah. It happens every 7 years. And within that is a year-long time that there will be no planting or harvesting in the land that 7 years. Now, why did God set that aside? Because he wanted the land to be just like the people, that we have a Shabbat every 7 days. After the 6 days, it's every 7 days. So every 7 years, we have a Shemitah. Again, that means to withdraw unto God. And it teaches us that we are just the tenants of this land. We don't own this land. You may have a deed and all that, but God is the Heavenly Father, and he actually is the owner of all the land that is on the earth. And so every 7 years we see a Shabbat called the Shemitah that's set apart. And again, I remember when I was a kid, my parents had a farm, and every so many years, and I imagine it was a Shemitah, they would not plant or any, you know, whatever grew natural, you could eat it, but you couldn't harvest it. And you could not sell it. It could not be sold. So God is saying, you know, lay it aside and you can consume it, but it's not to be harvested as per se and to be sold on the market or sold to someone. People could come by and partake. So it's just a natural growth of what was there because nothing was planted, nothing was reaped. But what happens about the other years? You know, the Shemitah actually involves 3 years. But we always say it's the seventh year, but there's 3 years because the seventh year is the year that you don't harvest it, you just consume it. Okay, the next year, if you didn't harvest it, you won't have a crop the next year, right? So that's another year when God said that. It's like when they took the manna on Saturday, on Friday, they had to pick a double portion. And God is saying on the sixth year, the year of the Shemitah, the year before the Shemitah, God will give us a threefold blessing, a reward, a bounty upon the land, that you will have 3 years of food gathered in 1 year. So that's why it's called 3 years, because the year after the Shemitah, you don't have a crop. So you got to plant it so you can't eat it because it's still growing. And then you have to wait to the next year. So it's actually involving 3 years. So that's very interesting that God set that up 3 years in a row, that you would be blessed so you would not be hungry because you're following God's instruction. And we find, you know, the seventh sabbatical cycle tells us about what is called a yovel. And a yovel means 50, which now we're approaching, we're up to 6 weeks now in the counting of the Omer. So that's 7 weeks in 1 day counts 50. But with the Shemitah and the yovel, that is 7 weeks times 7 years, seven times seven. It's 49 years. And then on the 50th year, it's called a yovel. That's a year just like the Shemitah, the seventh year. It's a year that, how do you know in the Shemitah? Because it will be on the seventh month, on the 10th day, the shofar will be blown, which is what festival is on the seventh month and the 10th day of that month. That is Yom Kippur. So it's blown on the 50th year with a Yom Kippur. And the cycle is not broken. It's the same. It's been happening since God established this. So it's the seventh month, the 10th day is the blast of the shofar, and it announces that the yovel has begun. So what happens in the yovel? Yovel means freedom. It tells us that the land, every people who were enslaved or indentured to the land are released from their labors that they have in the land. If the land was not controlled or owned by the family that began with it, then the land was given back to the original owners. Now, that's quite a concept. After 50 years, the land goes back to the original owners of the land. So that's part of the yovel. It goes back to the original owners. And there's no, again, in the 50th year, there's no sowing. There's no pruning of the vineyards. There's no taking of the vineyards. And there's no harvesting of the fruit of the seasons. Because of that, it's just like the Shemitah in that there's nothing. This nothing is harvested. And we see in Jeremiah 2:1 that Israel is holy unto the Lord. All who devour it will be guilty, and evil will come upon them, says the great God of Israel. So it's a blessing and a curse. You know, it's a blessing to follow the instructions of the Lord. And if you don't follow them, then it's a curse upon you because you're not getting the benefits of what God is wanting to explain to us and give to us. Just like today's Shabbat. It's a day of rest, and it's a day of teaching and instruction from God of what we are to do. You see, the Torah wasn't intended to be a salvation covenant because it can't provide eternal salvation. Only the Son of God, through his atoning death, the shedding of his blood, and his resurrection, and our acceptance of the things that he did for us, is the only way to inherit or to obtain eternal life. It's a gift from God. Romans 3:31 tells us, does it follow that to abolish the Torah and make it invalid? God forbid. To the contrary, we will be upholding the Torah. Faith opposed the Torah, and the faith of our faith is what will establish the Torah. You see, God's Torah is Torah Kaim, which means it's the lessons of life, and it's how we are to live. You see, the target of the Torah is Yeshua. He is the target. And I can tell you back a few years ago, there's been since about 2009, and I can't go into the whole thing, I've been studying about it, but the year 2009 ties back into the years that Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and then the 70 years that they were in, I forgot what's the country, where were they at in 70? They were in, I forgot where it's called, my mind isn't working this morning too good, but they were 70 years in bondage. That's where we get, I can't, I can't remember what all it is, but it was 70 years. And when you compute those with the biblical calendar, you come up with 2009 is the year. And it was that year that in God's instruction that, and I don't have the wordings here exactly the words that it go, but there was a time, God is saying to us that there will be a return or a time to go back to the Torah. And I think if you look back at 2009, best I can remember I've been here at the synagogue for a couple of years, but about 2009, I believe, is when the time that I actually started teaching the Torah. And I've seen since that year of 2009, there's been more and more people coming to hear God's word, and there's more and more things on the internet. There's more and more messianic communities that are being established that are teaching from the Torah, because I can remember when I first came, we didn't really do the Torah. So a few years later, we started actually having the Torah service, and that was down at Manabago. So all these things tie into God's word about the year when you take the biblical years and compute it based on the words of God, and you'll find it about 2009 is when there was a move of the Torah, people seeking Torah. So that's today's Torah portion, and Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher Shamoshe, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Adonai, Yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Et Chaimi, Lamazikim Ba, Betom Chera, Meyushan, Dirachea, Dorgeno, Betom Tivotecha, Shalom, Ashimenu,
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Time for some announcements. Not that I have a whole lot, but anyway, welcome today. Thank you, Carol. Hats off to Carol. She's doing fantastic. Thank you. Okay, as a reminder, for Zion's Sake Ministries and our Yehuda, our buildings have a new address because of the new 911 Next Gen system that has come to our country. And it has affected my address as well as pretty much everyone here in Bristol. They're revamping everything. So as a reminder, our main building here, the sanctuary building, which we're in right now, is, and get a pen for those of you watching, if you haven't got our address, it's 580, that's 580 Norfolk Avenue, Bristol, Virginia. And that's spelled N-O-R-F-O-L-K, Norfolk. And then our fellowship hall has its own address too. That is 560 Norfolk Avenue, Bristol, Virginia. And again, these addresses change because of the 911 Next Gen system that has come to our country and has affected a lot of states, including Virginia. I'm not sure about Tennessee. But if you have any questions, feel free to call our office here at the synagogue, and our secretary can also update your addresses. So if you do live in this local area and you do continually watch or support our ministry and you do receive our newsletter and your address change, please do let us know. And we'll update you in our system and to make sure that you'll continue to receive our newsletters and mailings. And that is all that I have, Brother Anthony.
What I was trying to think of was Babylon. I'm sorry. When I don't write it down and try to just talk off my head, it doesn't function real good anymore. So I'm glad I know I'm talking about Norfolk Avenue. It's been Norfolk Avenue since I was just a little bitty boy. So it's sort of encouraging that it's going back to what it was when I was a kid. You knew where it was at because my grandmother used to run a store here on this street many years ago. Okay, so we're going to take up today's offerings. So we'll give you a few live streaming. There's a button you can on our website. You can choose to make a donation or you can mail it to us. And Diane just gave you the address. I guess those addresses are now good for us.
Yeah, that was effective. I'll wait for the camera. That was effective April 30th.
Okay, so it's in the fort.
So, yes.
So, I guess if you send the wrong, the old address, they'll probably still forward it on for a period of time.
Right, there is a grace period. Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so we're going to pray for the offering this morning and take it up, and then we will go into our worship. We've got quite a few songs here this morning to lead us in worship, so we're looking forward to that. So, let's pray this morning, ask God's blessing upon the offering this morning and upon our worship service. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your Shabbat, Lord. We ask that you bless everyone that's here today, Lord. We ask that you will bless gifts and the giver today, Lord. Give us a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and may it just truly run over, Lord. And bless us, Lord, today on your holy day, which is your Shabbat. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest, till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise. Weight of your glory fall.
hearts. A child is born, a son is given to rule the nations. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to rule the nations. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us.
Goodies Day. I hope you enjoy it. I think a lot of you know this.
I don't think anybody's heard those songs, most people.
Well, it's an oldies but goodies for us. Those were oldies, our oldies but goodies. Now here's one of your, maybe your oldie but goodie, okay?
Quality never goes out of style, does it?
Amen.
He is
exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted. I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in exalted, the King is exalted on high. Oh, he is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Oh, he is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. For he is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted.
This is an oldie from Blue Ridge Mountain. I'll always think of Blue Ridge Mountain when I sing this song. And they recorded a CD, which I absolutely love. Do you have that CD? You don't have that CD?
It was a cassette.
Oh, it was a cassette? It never was a CD? Blessing and honor, glory and power, to the Ancient of Days, from every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory, every knee shall bow at your throne and worship. You will be exalted, O God.
For the Ancient of Days, every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory, every knee shall bow at your throne and worship. You will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Sing to the
righteous word. Sing it to the Ancient of Days. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me.
Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all His goodness.
Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me.
Bless His holy name.
Bless His holy name.
He pardons all your iniquities.
Healeth all your diseases.
He redeems you from the grave.
Grants you a loving kindness.
Satisfies your desire for good. He renews your strength. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. The Lord performs His righteous deeds. Justice for all who are oppressed.
Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together. Let's worship Him.
Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me.
Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name.
Bless His holy name.
Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name.
Bless His holy name.
He will not always strive with us.
Thank you.
Elijah. Delays of Elijah. This was her
yes.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee. Down to Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the ones in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Hold he comes, riding on the clouds, at the trumpet calls, lift your voices, it's a year of jubilee, down to Zion's hill salvation comes.
Glory! Behold, he comes, glory!
And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh.
Oh, yeah.
And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest.
Comes.
Behold, he comes,
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Higher than the mountains of the heavens, stronger than the power of the grave. One thing remains, one thing remains. Oh,
in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, your love gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Higher than the mountains that we face, stronger than the power of trial and the change. One thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. It never runs out on us. Hallelujah.
Your love
never fails.
Your love never fails.
giving glory to you. To the altar today. If you need healing, if you need grace from the Lord, if you need a touch, I want you to come to Him and ask Him to heal your heart. Put the balm of Gilead in there. Pour it out.
Upon the people.
Yivrechech Adonai.
The God that healeth thee, I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord your healer.
Other God heals. No other God hears your cries and cares about you. Every other religion thinks God is too far, too distant to care about you. No other God, no other book teaches about the love of God. There's no other book about any God that teaches about his love for you except the Bible. No other book teaches about the love of God. The concept of love, it's not taught in religion. Only the concept of eye for an eye and martyrdom and things like that is taught in religious books and legalism. You know, what you earning your righteousness, earning your salvation by doing good works. That's what other books teach. But our God heals, and our God saves. Our God changes circumstances. Our God fixes things. Our God makes things new.
Amen.
Our God answers prayer.
Yes, amen.
Our God lives.
Yes.
Our God reigns.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer.
You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
No other God heals.
He heals our hurts,
Mejoricosha,
our disappointments, our regrets. Let's put them on the altar.
You know, I'm going to share something with you. I struggled with depression from the time I was 12 years old to the time I was 29 years old. I struggled with depression. And I went to doctors, and they gave me medicine, and they gave me antidepressant medicine. They gave me anti-anxiety medicine. And I struggled with depression and anxiety until I met Yeshua.
Yes.
And when I met Yeshua, it all went away.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And do you know,
he
delivered me from a 7-year addiction, prescription pain, anxiety medicine that the doctors were giving me for 7 years, and it's addictive. And he delivered me overnight. The day I met him, I never took it again. when he delivered me, I never took that medicine, and he set me free. He totally set me free from depression, from anxiety. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to have anxiety. You don't have to have nightmares. You know, when you have a nightmare, that's the devil. And you just have to speak. And you have a bad dream. Everybody say, when I have a bad dream.
When I have a
a bad dream.
It's not real.
It's not real.
It's the enemy.
It's the enemy.
It's not reality.
Not reality.
And when you wake up, say, when I wake up.
When I wake up.
It's all gone.
It's gone.
Don't believe it.
Don't believe it.
The problem is too many people believe their bad dreams.
Yes.
They keep having nightmares because they believe the bad dream. Mm-hmm. Don't believe it. Don't accept it. Stop accepting the bad dreams and they will go away.
Amen.
Amen. When you have nightmares, and we all have them. We all have, you know, we wake up with a cold sweat, something. You know, most nightmares, most bad dreams never come to pass. Amen. Most of them never come to pass because they're not from God.
Amen.
They're not from God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
This part of the service for the Shelkanet and I. Everyone that's watching by their device to take a couple of seconds here and get you some juice and crackers, whatever you're going to use. And then we will. Does everyone have? Everyone have a cup? After the table of the Lord, then the rabbi, I believe, is going to speak, right? Yeah. We'll have the message from Rabbi Bell speak. So, chance to get these open. We'll say the blessing over the cup first. Rukatadanai Elohein, Yumelakavalam. Borei Peri Hagafin. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua is the fruit of the vine. And then Yeshua took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And shall we bless it this morning? Brukatadonai Elohein Yumelech HaOlam Hamotzi Lekem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And on the third day, Yeshua came from the grave as the bread of life for us, Lord. In Yeshua's name, may you partake to life in Yeshua. Now we're going to have the recorded message from Rabbi Bell. we're having just a small delay, so bear with us, please. Okay, say so, okay. Okay. Tomorrow's Mother's Day, so don't forget that. It's Sunday to be tomorrow. May the 9th, I believe, is tomorrow. Okay. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies here at the congregation today and that are live streaming. Do what?
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Shabbat shalom.
We're going to have a, for Shavuot, we're going to have a special service, but we don't know exactly the particulars of it right now. We'll know more probably next week when it's going to actually be held. But they're still working with the video. I'm going to call it a video. I'm sure it's something else, but I'm not real good at ad-libbing, but I don't sing good, so I think we're getting ready to start here.
Welcome, Facebook friends. So what comes to your mind when you think of Moses, all right? What comes to your mind when you think of Moses? What comes to you? You don't have to answer it. Just think about it. What comes to your mind when you think of Moses? What comes to your mind when you think of Elijah or Elisha? What comes to your mind when you think of the ministry of Yeshua or Jesus? Or the ministry of Paul? What comes to your mind when you think about the Apostle Paul? What comes to your mind when you think about Miriam, Mary, the mother of Yeshua? What do you think about, when you think about Mary, the mother of Yeshua? Luke 1 tells us that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, do not fear, do not be afraid. Highly favored woman, you are highly favored, and he said, in a little while the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive and bear a child. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, amen, to Miriam in Hebrew, that she would bear a child, amen. And she treasured these words that the angel said to her. Basically telling her, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. You're going to give birth to the Messiah, and God conceived, the Holy Spirit conceived a child through her. He implanted the holy seed through her, and it's actually her seed. It said the seed of a woman. The Messiah would come by the seed of a woman. But somehow God did His part. I don't know what the Holy Spirit did. Jeremiah says, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. Amen. Every one of us is a Holy Spirit miracle. You were born a Holy Spirit miracle. God formed you. The Holy Spirit, you didn't see it, right? Some of you have children. Did you see them formed in the womb? I'm not talking about an ultrasound. I'm just saying, from the moment of conception to the end of the first month, did you see it? Did you see anything take place? I mean, you know what happened to make it take place. But did you mix up a batter? Did you make a banana bread? I mean, seriously, what did you do to create your children? Except the ritual that takes place. Nothing. Everybody said, we didn't. Nothing. God did it. Amen. The Holy Spirit created me in my mother's womb. He fashioned me in my mother's womb. She didn't know whether I'd be a boy or a girl. None of us really know if it's going to be, at least till later in the pregnancy. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. Some say if they carry low, it's going to be a boy or whatever. They say all these different things. And then they find out it's a girl, and it's all a lot of wives' tales and stuff. But anyway,
Elijah performed miracles. He multiplied the meager oil and flour belonging to the widow of Zarephath after she obeyed his instructions to make him a little bread and get him some water. Elijah performed a miracle of multiplying the flour and the oil, so the widow and her son and Elijah had enough to eat until the famine they were in ended. And that's 1 Kings 17, verse 7 through 16. Then later her son died, and Elijah the prophet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. He went up, took the boy up into the upper room of the house, and he laid on him, and he cried out to God, "Oh Lord, breathe life back into this boy." And he put his face on him, and he breathed into him. And he said, "Lord, breathe life back into this boy and bring his life back." And the boy woke up, and he lived. He resurrected. There's no mention in 1 Kings 17 of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But still, we know that now looking back, we know that Yeshua raised the dead. He said to John and of Lazarus in John chapter 11, he said, after 4 days in the tomb, he stood there and he said, "Lazarus, come forth. Come forth." Amen. And the men opened the tomb door, and Lazarus came stumbling out in his grave. He was all wrapped up in like a mummy in his grave clothes. And he came stumbling out, and the stench was so horrible the people couldn't take it. He'd been in there in the heat for 4 days decomposing, and the Lord raised him from the dead in John 11. "Lazarus, come forth," and the power of the Holy Spirit through Yeshua, the power of God, raised Lazarus from the dead. Same power that God used for Elijah to raise the widow of Zarephath's son, or the same power that God used when the woman from Shunem, the Shunammite woman, and her son had a headache, and they brought him to the house, to the upper room, and the prophet laid his body on top of him, and he prayed over him, and cried out to the Lord, and the Lord brought life back into that child's body. Amen. Brought him back to life. Same miracles, same power, same Holy Spirit. Just in the Old Testament, that word, the Holy Spirit, wasn't mentioned. Amen. Okay. Speaking of the multiplying of the oil for 3 years. I mean, Elijah was with the widow for a long time. It was at least a year or more. He was stayed with her in Zarephath, which is up in Lebanon today, or Tyre, in the area of Tyre and Sidon, and he stayed with her and her son, and he lived with them till the famine ended, and he multiplied the oil. It said there was always enough flour and oil until the famine ended. It was the multiple of the loaves without fishes. Amen. Very similar to the Yeshua's, the miracle multiplying the loaves and the fishes. Very similar. It was a forerunner to the multiplying of the loaves and the fishes. So a lot of the miracles, and Jewish people don't know this, but a lot of the miracles, and if you want to share this with your Jewish friends, it's a good way to share the gospel, is that Yeshua only did many of the miracles that the prophets did, that Elijah, that Elisha did. Amen. But we're going to talk mostly about Moses today. What do you think of when you think of the words Holy Spirit or Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew? Is Moses the first thought that pops into your head when you think of the word Holy Spirit? Or is it something else? Perhaps for some, when you think of Moses, it conjures up images of standing in prayer line, or the word Holy Spirit conjures up images of standing in prayer lines and getting slain in the Spirit. Perhaps for some, talking about the Holy Spirit reminds you of healing or a personal miracle that you received or witnessed. an anointing that you got, the power of God that just made you weep or cry out, or you saw deliverance take place in somebody next to you or near you. You saw someone, you know, perhaps for others, when the Holy Spirit's mentioned, they think of Acts chapter 2 and the speaking in tongues that took place and the fire that fell and the tongues of fire. Others might think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they think of, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, they might think of the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, with speaking in tongues. Think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, Mark 16 and 17. And let's look at that verse there. Let's go to Mark 16 for a second. Mark 16. Okay, so in verse 15 it says, Yeshua told them to his disciples, Go into all the world, proclaim the good news to every creature. He who believes and is immersed or baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages or tongues. They will handle snakes. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. These are the signs that will accompany those who believe. Amen? Let's read them again. They will proclaim the good news of the gospel everywhere they go. Believers should be doing that. He who believes and is immersed or baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, they will drive out demons. They will speak new tongues, new languages, and they will handle snakes. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and pick up a snake, and we are not snake handlers, okay? But if a snake shows up in your bed at night, I know a woman who's a believer and had a snake problem. These black snakes were coming into her home, and her husband was away, and I'm not sure they ever got to the bottom of why the snakes were coming in the house. I have my own ideas, but these black snakes were coming in her house while her husband was away, and one of them showed up in her bedroom. I won't get into it beyond that because they're friends of mine. But anyway, I'll just say this. That's what it's talking about. Paul picked up a snake. A snake bit him when Paul was in Malta after his boat ride. And he landed on the beach and he was standing by a fire and a snake jumped up and bit him, right? And Paul grabbed the snake, you know. He's not a snake handler. He was trying to kill the snake. Amen. That bit him. It was a poisonous snake too, but he didn't die. And that's the point. It's not so much that we should go out and handle snakes. The point is that if we trust God, if we get bit by a snake or a scorpion or whatever, we won't die. If we drink poison, the Bible says, you will drink poison. You know, and it will not. It says they will handle snakes, and if they drink anything deadly or poison, it will not harm them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. Now, I'm not saying to go out and test God and get a bottle of acid or something and drink it and say, gee, let's see if God will, you know, be true to his word. That's not what I'm saying. But if you act, if somebody tries to poison you and it's not your time to go, you can drink that poison and you'll live. Amen? You will live. We have a situation here where that happened. Somebody drank poison and they did, and they're still alive today and just as ornery as ever. Hallelujah. All right. So I want to ask you a question, though. So how many, you know, I want you to think about something. How many of you, these are the signs that will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. Have you ever cast out a demon? I remember being on Mount Carmel in Israel. I was in an Ethiopian Messianic congregation, and I was in a prayer line. I finished my message, and I began to pray over the people, and they lined up. And a woman came up to me, and my mother-in-law, who's Presbyterian, was sitting in the audience watching. And this Ethiopian woman began manifesting and screaming and foaming at the mouth and convulsing. I knew that she had a demon, and I started casting the demon out, and I took authority over the demon, and I had a big prayer line. There were several elders there, so after spending several minutes with her, and she fell on the floor and started convulsing as, you know, the demon was leaving her, I had to pray for the other people. So I said to the elders, can you take over? And my mother-in-law, who's a Presbyterian, was watching this. It's not common in Presbyterian churches to see demons cast out, although I'm sure there are plenty of demons in Presbyterian churches and Presbyterians that need demons cast out, as in every church, all right? As in every church. But the question is, will you ever see it? Have you ever seen it? Anybody Presbyterian here or Methodist? Any Methodists? Any Methodists in the house? Catholics? Any former Catholics? Diane, did you ever see a demon cast out? Really? In the Catholic Church? Or you hear about exorcisms? Did they actually? You heard about it? Yeah. But they did exorcisms. I know that. But yes, Carol. You saw one at what kind of conference? A Christian conference. Okay, so it was all different denominations. Yeah, women from all over the place. Okay, yeah, that's normal. Yeah, So have you ever cast out a demon? Have you ever, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will handle snakes. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Okay, so have you spoken in tongues? Have you had to handle a dangerous creature like a snake? And that's attacked you or someone you love. Have you ever had to have you ever drank a poison and said, wow, I just drank a poison and I live to tell about it? You know, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm just asking you. But have you ever laid hands on the sick and made them well? Raise your hand if you've done that. If you've laid hands on the sick and they became well, raise your hand up high. Let me see. Okay. Well, if you haven't, this is not Joe's list of what signs accompany a believer. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's list of what signs accompany a believer. Amen. And if you haven't done any of these things, get to it. Get to work. I'm serious. Because you're going to stand before your Maker. We're all going to stand before Him soon and very soon. Amen? And if there's a problem, if you haven't done any of these things in your life, you've been... You ever think about the sheltered child, you know, the sheltered child who's always been protected by his mommy or her mommy and not allowed to go out into the world and experience the world. And you might say it's possible that you live a sheltered existence. You need to get out in the world and start doing the stuff. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard denomination, when he was a new believer, and he went to some church and he read the book of Acts, and he said to the preacher, he said, after reading the book of Acts, he said, "When are we going to do the stuff? When are we going to do the stuff?" And the preacher said, what stuff? And he said, "This stuff we're reading about, these miracles in the book of Acts, you know, like Paul, these healings and resurrections and casting out of demons." He said, "When are we going to do the stuff?" And hallelujah. So they didn't know how to answer him because they weren't doing the stuff. And the problem is too many Christians go to churches that don't do the stuff. But your preacher will, and I'm going to say this boldly, your preachers in many cases will lie to you and say, "That was for then, but that's not for now." Well, I would rather stand before God, who said these are the signs that will accompany those who believe, and answer God and say, "I did them because you said to do them," than stand before God and say, "Well, my preacher said, God, that I didn't have to do these things because they were first century and they didn't apply to me." What would you rather say to God? "I gave it a go." Amen. And I'm going to tell you, as your rabbi, I have cast out demons within a month of being saved. I didn't intend to. I was having breakfast with somebody. I was working as a salesman. I met somebody from this Messianic synagogue as a new believer. I was a new believer. I met him for breakfast. And before the end of breakfast, I cast out a demon. And then I had to go do my sales calls. I was so nervous, I was freaking out. So I called somebody, an older, mature person in the Lord, and said, "Pray for me, I just cast out a demon." I was terrified. It was a scary thing, you know. It was very intense. And then I had to go on with my sales calls that day, you know. But I have since cast out numerous demons all over the world and all over the United States. So if you're really a believer, you should take this verse to heart. What are the signs that accompany Mark 16:16 and 17? The signs that accompany them that believe. Okay, let's go on. How many of you think of Moses parting the Red Sea when you think of the Holy Spirit? How many of you think of Moses parting the Red Sea as him moving in the power of the Holy Spirit? When you think about Moses, apart from me, you know, I never thought of Moses until like this message hit me. I never thought of Moses moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you know. But when he parted the Red Sea, that was quite a that was really moving in the Holy Spirit. Amen, you know, but honestly, how many of you think of Moses moving in the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand if you don't. I normally don't, even though Moses performed miracles. Raise your hand if you don't think of him, associate him with the Holy Spirit. Be honest. If you don't think of associate Moses with the Holy Spirit, you know, most people associate Moses with the law, and with legalism, and with observing Torah observance, you know. So half of you think of Moses. When you think of Moses, you think about the Holy Spirit. That's impressive. Okay, let's go on. So how many of you think of Moses turning his staff into a serpent or turning the waters of Egypt into blood as him accessing the power of the Holy Spirit? How many of us think of that? That was the Holy Spirit. He was accessing the power. It wasn't Moses' power. It wasn't the staff that he used. And if you don't think about the Holy Spirit, why not? Why not? Why don't we think? I'll take one word or two word answers on this one. Why don't we think of Moses' miracles associate them with the Holy Ghost, with the Ruach HaKodesh? I'll give you because it's not mentioned. The Holy Spirit isn't mentioned in the books of Moses. It's only mentioned in Genesis. In Genesis 1, is it mentioned, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Lord, was hovering over the waters. So the Spirit was there with God right in the beginning. It's right there in page 1. But after that, we don't hear much about the Holy Spirit until, in fact, when you think about Passover, and you think about the bread wrapped, the three pieces of bread are each wrapped in a white cloth. Only one of the pieces is revealed, the afikomen, which represents Yeshua, right? But the other two remain hidden, don't they? See, and so in the Pentateuch, in the five books of Moses, in the Torah, or the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was kind of hidden. God didn't really reveal the work of the Holy Spirit to us because we weren't ready. People weren't ready for the Holy Spirit. It was a progressive revelation that came later. Okay, let's go on. Why do most people associate Moses with legalism and the anti-spirit? They associate him with bondage and the law. You know, if you're under Moses, you're under bondage. They've told me that. Many people have told me, if you're under Moses, you're in bondage. You're under the law. You're a Judaizer. Have you ever heard that? I've heard it all through my life as a believer. I've been accused of being a Judaizer just because I'm Jewish. You know, I've been accused of being under the law. You know, because we do Shabbat on Saturday, I've been accused of being under the law, you know, and in bondage. I'm very free. I've cast out demons. I've healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen over 1,000 people saved by the power of the Holy Spirit through my ministry. I've seen hundreds and over 1,000 people healed. I've seen 4 people get up and walk out of wheelchairs. Some of you in this room have witnessed it, have seen people get out of wheelchairs that I've prayed for. It's happened 4 times in my life. I've seen blind eyes opened. I've seen the mute tongue speak 2 or 3 times. I've seen people who couldn't speak, and I grabbed them by the mouth, and I said, you dumb mute spirit, come out in the name of Yeshua, and I shouted, and I pulled, and that mute spirit came out, praise God, and they could speak, and I could introduce you to the people whose relatives they were. One is in this town. I've seen great miracles. I've seen the deaf hear. I have cast out all these things. I've probably drank poisons and things that didn't affect me. You know, Lord knows, I've taken so many chemotherapies. It's a miracle I'm standing up, fighting cancer, and that's a lot of it's poison. So, let's go on. Why do most people associate Moses with legalism and the anti-spirit? You know, they associate Jesus with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and Moses with the law. This is true. Maybe it's because it says the law came through Moses and grace and truth came through Yeshua. It says that in the Bible. But it doesn't say that the power of Moses was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Moses. Remember, Moses was that cowardly guy that said, "Who, me? You want me to go to Pharaoh? I can't speak." Remember that guy Moses by the burning bush? He says, "I can't talk." God went angry with him and said, I'll send your brother Aaron to talk for you. You know, I'll send you a helper. Moses was not exactly Charlton Heston, right? He wasn't quite Charlton Heston. He wasn't Cary Grant, you know. He wasn't Sylvester Stallone or Bruce Willis. He was more like, you know, Moses was kind of like Woody Allen, you know, in my opinion. You know, he's like, who, me? God, you ain't gonna send me? I can't speak. You know, I can see him being more like Woody Allen than Bruce Willis. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. They associate him with bondage and the law, though God used Moses to free more people from bondage than anyone in history until perhaps Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. I'll say that again. A lot of people associate Moses with bondage and legalism and the law, though God used him to free more people from bondage than anyone in history until perhaps Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. I'd say Moses was a pretty spirit-filled guy. You think he fasted 40 days and 40 nights twice in the flesh or in the power of the Holy Spirit? What do you think? Did Mary conceive the Messiah by the flesh or by the Holy Spirit? Did Adam bear a wife or did God do it by the Holy Spirit? Genesis 2:18, 21 through 25. Wow, he didn't give Adam a baby girl, he gave him a babe. That's quite a miracle. Full grown. Pretty impressive stuff, right? I mean, you talk about the virgin birth and the birth of the Messiah. God took a rib out of Adam and the Holy Spirit created a woman, a wife. And by all accounts I've heard, she was quite a looker. All right, well, let's move on. I don't want to get you thinking in the wrong direction. Okay, so we see that the Holy Spirit is connected to conception. You didn't build that baby, laugh out loud. God says, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. Did you see God form your children in the womb? No, because it was God, the Holy Spirit, who quietly did his mysterious work of creation in the ladies' wombs or your mama's womb. Of course, unless you were Mary, it took a man to get the recipe just right. Praise God. What else do you think of when you think of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to name some things. Healing the sick, casting out demons, Mark 16:17. As I said, these signs will accompany those who have believed. Speaking in tongues, people think of, they associate with the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, John 14, Yeshua said, behold, I will send the Comforter, and he will lead you into all truth. When I leave, don't grieve about me leaving you, because if I leave, I can't. Unless I leave, he said, I can't send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. Amen. So, who comforts us in all our afflictions. Another thing I think of when I think of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, people say, you know, that happens when they're saved. But I want to challenge you. In John, okay, it says in John 20:22, when Yeshua appeared to his disciples in a room, came through the wall, okay? He walked through the wall. And I think he came that day for Thomas, because Thomas didn't believe. And so he said to Thomas that day in the room, Thomas said, unless I see the holes in your hands and your feet and in your side, I won't believe. Right? Remember that? And Yeshua showed him the holes in his hands and in his side. Amen. And maybe in his feet. And he showed him the holes that were there. And he said, blessed are you who have believed and not seen. And blessed are you who have believed and not seen. But this is, he also said something else. He said, at the end, he said, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Y'all hear me say that? Yeshua breathed in John 20, verse 22, it said, he breathed on them, his disciples, and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, count. That's number one. That's number one, right? Okay, Acts 1 through 8, 1-8, chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wait a second, guys. Didn't we just say the Holy Spirit, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit in John 20, 22? And you can go there and read it for yourself. Can I get an amen? Did they receive the Holy Spirit when he breathed on them? Amen? Okay. So why would he say to them, if there wasn't a second infilling of the Spirit, why would he say in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth? And then the Spirit, tongues of fire, fell. Let's read Acts chapter 2. Let's all go to Acts chapter 2. So we know it's not Rabbi Joe's fantasy here, but this is God's word. So when the day of Shavuot, that's Hebrew for Pentecost, had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. Now, Jewish people, now remember, the Messiah said to them, you know, a little bit, 10 days earlier, or about, rough, give or take, 2 weeks earlier, give or take, he said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit falls on you. Amen? So they didn't have power. He breathed on them the first time. They got the Holy Spirit, but took two times. Everybody say two times. Two scoops. Would you like Raisin Bran if it only had one scoop? Not me. I like two scoops of raisins in my Raisin Bran. You know, I don't... I'm not a flake guy, Xavier. I like the raisins. The flakes are just secondary. It's like salad and steak. I eat the salad to make me feel like it, not so bad about eating the steak. You know what I'm saying? Salad is like it's feel-good stuff. So when you eat something else that's not so good, you feel a little better because you ate the salad with it, right? Amen. But so it's the same thing with Raisin Bran. Two scoops, you know. Who wants one scoop Raisin Bran? Do you, Diane? You're not a big raisin person? All right. All right. All right. All right. Okay. All right. Let's move on. So there's two fillings of the Holy Spirit. Interesting that when Elijah and Elisha, and again, God uses... Why did God use a staff with Moses? He used a staff. God used tools. Instead of talking about the Holy Spirit, God used tools with Moses in order to explain what he was doing. He used visual things, just like we talked about the cup at Passover. He uses visual things to help us understand spiritual concepts. God uses visual things like the wine and the bread in the Last Supper. He used visual things to help the disciples understand, to help us understand physical things. And so Elijah, when he first came to Elijah first came to Elisha in 1 Kings 19, it says that he walked up to him and he didn't pour oil on him. Now God said to him, And 1 Kings 18, go and anoint Elisha prophet in your place. In 1 Kings 18, he says, go and anoint Elisha prophet in your place. Here, Josh, come on up here, okay? So this is go and anoint Elisha prophet in your place. And so what did he do in 1 Kings 18, 19? Just turn, stand in front of me and turn around. He says he walked up to Elisha and he tossed his mantle on him. Whoops, can you grab that for me there? Just sit it right here. He put his mantle on the boy, right? Later on, after the boy trained with him for several years, maybe for two or three years of prophecy, prophet training, right? And Elijah, remember Elisha walked around with Elijah, and then they crossed the Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle that day in 2 Kings chapter 2, and he took his mantle and he hit the Jordan River, and the Jordan parted, and they went to the other side, remember? And then Elijah asked Elisha, he says, what shall I do for you? And Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me two scoops. Give me a double portion of your spirit. And so Elijah said, you ask a very difficult thing. But if you see me when I'm taken from you, then it shall be as you asked. And then all of a sudden, the heavens opened up, and the chariots of God and their horses came down. And Elisha saw Elijah taken up in the chariot, in God's chariots with the horses and the fire. Remember the Chariots of Fire, the movie Chariots of Fire? You guys are too young to remember that one, but that was a famous movie back in the 70s and 80s. The Chariots of Fire, about road racers, running guys. Okay? So anyway, and so Elisha saw Elijah taken, and then the mantle of Elijah came floating down from the heavens. And what did Elijah do? The boy, Elisha, turn around, young man. He picked it up. I'm not going to put this on the floor because that's not. He picked it up and he put it on. So remember, in 1 Kings 19, come over here so the camera can see you. So in 1 Kings 19, let's do it again here. It's for the folks on Facebook. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah put his mantle on the boy, and he became a disciple, right? When his discipleship was finished, then Elijah, the heavens opened up, and he said, what shall I do for you? Elijah said to Elisha, what shall I do for you? And he said, give me a double portion of your spirit. And he said, it's a very difficult thing you ask, but if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be as you ask. And sure enough, the heavens opened up and the chariots of Israel and their horses came. They took Elijah up and his mantle fell down. And Elisha, the boy, picked it up off the ground and he put it on. He put the mantle of his master on. And then he went and he took it and he went back to the Jordan River. And he took the mantle and he smote the Jordan River and it parted, just like Moses parting the Red Sea. And he crossed over. He crossed over the Jordan River. And the sons of the prophets who had been making fun of him all that whole time said, they bowed down now. Instead of making fun of him, they bowed down. Read 2 Kings 2 for yourself. I'm not going to read it, but you read it. 2 Kings 2, and you'll see he received a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that in 2 Kings 2. It only asks, he says, give me a double portion of your spirit. How is the Holy Spirit mentioned? As a prayer shawl, as a mantle. Amen? So I just put two anointings on Josh that you can see, right? Because I can't teach it by, I can't show you the Holy Spirit, can I? Right? Thank you, Josh. Good boy. Thanks for helping me out. So, okay. I'm going to put my mine back on here. Thank you for helping us. Give Josh a round of applause. Praise God. Now, so you're following me? There's evidence in the Bible of a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua said he breathed on his disciples, and then he said, and then about 10 days later, he said, you will receive power. Now, how did Peter change after he received the double portion? How did Peter change? Well, did he run away like a coward when the Lord was arrested just 40, 50 days earlier? He ran away in tears because he betrayed, you know, he denied the Lord, remember? But all of a sudden, now, in Acts chapter 2, he starts preaching. And 3,000 were added. He's preaching right on the steps of the temple. Literally, he's preaching within less than a mile, less than a half mile from where Yeshua was crucified. He's less than a half mile away, and he's right near Caiaphas's house, where the southern steps is, right near Caiaphas's house and the jail where they would have kept Yeshua that night. And Peter is emboldened not to run away, but to preach the gospel. And 3,000 were added that day. Is that awesome? Okay, so just to review here. So what do you think of when you think of the Holy Spirit? Healing the sick, casting out demons, speaking in tongues, the Comforter who comforts us in all our afflictions and leads us into all truth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, prophesying, Acts 19:6. People without the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, in those days, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and the young men will dream dreams, and the old men, young men will see visions, and the old men, people will dream dreams, and they will prophesy before the great and coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. All flesh, he says, people will prophesy when I pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's what he says. So prophesying is a sign of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit, Jude 1:20. Jude 1:20 says, "But you believe, but you beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit is not the same as standing. I remember I was in a ministerial association many years ago, and we would have our meetings like once a month in a restaurant. We'd have a nice lunch, and then we'd get together to pray. And whoever was leading the group at the time would say, "Okay, does anybody have a prayer request?" And somebody would say, "Well, I've got kidney stones, and I need to go in and have them blasted out." And somebody else would say, "You know, I've got to have my gallbladder removed," or "My wife's sister, she has cancer," things like that. And we'd stand in a circle, and then the leader would say, "Dear God, we thank thee for this food and this fellowship, and now bless us as we go forth from this place. In Jesus' name, amen." And I used to stand there thinking, "Well, wait a second. Didn't we just take prayer requests? And didn't he just say that his wife's sister has cancer and he's got to go in for gallbladder surgery? And why aren't we praying for these things?" And these were the ministers of this town. These were some of the fathers of this town. The spiritual fathers would get together in this town, not all preachers, but some, in the ministerial association, and prayer requests would be made, and they would ignore them. I was bewildered. So God somehow, guess who became president the next year, 2002. From 2002 to 2005, I became the president of the Ministerial Association. You know what I did? At the end of our meetings, I would take prayer requests, and guess what we did? We prayed for people. We prayed for their prayer requests, and I prayed, God, Jeremiah 29:7, pray for the city in which the Lord has sent you into exile, for in its prosperity you will have prosperity. God is a believer in the trickle-down theory, that if people prosper and have work and companies and factories and restaurants and businesses, then people will have jobs. Socialism or communism divides up a business and gives a little piece of it to everybody, and it collapses. Because I know this from owning a bagel shop. Nobody that ever worked for me knew anything about bagel equipment except me. Nobody that ever worked for me could get a loan and buy bagel making equipment when it broke down, like a $10,000 freezer or a $5,000 oven. Nobody had the ability to do that. So do you know how fast that bagel shop would have gone out of business if everybody owned a piece of it? You know how quickly? Pretty quick, I'll tell you. And you know where those people would be? If there wasn't an owner and a founder and a guy who spent $20,000 out of his own money investing in the business, you know where those people would be? Out of a job. Kaiser, is anybody awake? Can I get an amen? All right. Praise the Lord. They'd be out of a job. If they didn't have somebody to run the business, fix the machines, nobody else called the mechanical company when the bagel making machine broke down. The guy making, you know, $8 an hour 10 years ago, whatever, I don't know what the minimum wage is today. The guy making $8 an hour making the bagels, he didn't call and get the machine repaired. He didn't pay the $500 repair bill when the belt broke on the bagel making machine. He didn't pay the $300 for the new belt. He didn't have $300. And if he did, you think he would have spent it on a belt or cigarettes? I guarantee you, cigarettes and other fun things to smoke. Socialism doesn't work, and taking apart companies just destroys them. And if you make the minimum wage $15 an hour, what you're going to do, yeah, people will make minimum wage, they'll make $15 an hour for about a month or two, and then those companies will go out of business because restaurants don't have money to pay $15 an hour in Bristol, Tennessee, and Johnson City, Tennessee, and Kingsport, Tennessee, and Belk's doesn't have $15 an hour to pay the people who sell their clothing. And, you know, people, that's just too much money. Maybe in New York City, where they charge you $30 for a corned beef sandwich, they can pay $15 an hour, but this ain't New York City. It's not Washington, D.C. Amen? Where a hamburger in Washington, D.C. is $15, you know, whereas here, a hamburger's, you know, a good hamburger is about $7 or $8, you know, $10 now. Good hamburger's $10 at a halfway decent restaurant, Bill says, you know. So, but even so, it's not enough money for these restaurants to pay people $15 an hour. And what does that do? So, great, okay, if you're a worker, you're thinking, great, I'm going to make $15 an hour. Until you lose your job because the business went closed down. And all the prices went up. And people stopped going to the business. And all the people were out of work. All right. Let's finish up. Other things you think about when you think about the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit, I said, raising the dead, John 11. Generally performing miracles would be considered the work of the Holy Spirit. What about Moses? Why don't we actually connect Moses to the Holy Spirit? And I answered that earlier. I mean, Yeshua went up on the mountain to pray, and so did Moses. Yeshua fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and so did Moses. Yeshua performed great miracles, and so did Moses, by the power of God. So why is it that New Testament believers think of grace and power, healing in tongues, falling out in the Spirit and prophesying? Why do we think of Paul and the apostles, Elijah and Elisha and Yeshua and Jesus himself, but not Moses when we think of the Holy Ghost? Why do we associate Moses with bondage, legalism, Judaizers? And these are things that I've been accused of because we teach Moses and we have the Sabbath on the Saturday, which is biblical, which is under Moses. It predated Moses. The Sabbath predated Moses, and the Sabbath postdated Moses. It was in the New Testament as well. So the Sabbath has been there since Genesis. So, God rested on the seventh day. But yet we're called legalists because we meet on Saturday. They think of you. Why don't they come, the Sunday folks? Why don't they come here on Saturday? A lot of them won't come because they think it's legalism. They've been taught to believe that the eighth day, or the first day, Sunday, is a new beginning, that it's the day of the resurrection, and that's the day that we're, it's a new age, it's a new whatever, and we don't do the old things, and we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. That was Old Testament. I don't see where God said stop. I see where the Lord said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And I see where he said, you tithe cumin and dill, but you neglect the weightier portions of the law. But I don't see where he said, stop observing the Sabbath. All right, let's finish up here. So, why do we associate Moses with bondage and legalism when he was more free in Messiah than probably you or I will ever be? He freed an entire nation by the power of the Holy Spirit. He freed an entire people by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that came through that night and put to death the firstborn. It was the Spirit of God, or God sent a spirit that killed those firstborn. Let's conclude. Language, my friend. The answer is language. You see, God did not mention the Holy Spirit in Exodus like he did in the book of John or the book of Acts. No, instead, God gave Moses physical tools, a staff, a prayer shawl, a shofar, a cup of wine, a piece of bread. He gave physical things to teach spiritual principles until we were able to walk in spiritual principles without physical stuff. That's what his goal was, to get us to a point where we didn't need to see physical manifestations of the Spirit, of the anointing. We didn't need to see that. So, I could come here without wearing this prayer shawl, and I could preach just the same as I can with that prayer shawl. But if I want to reach my Jewish friends, they might be more interested or more likely to watch me if I'm wearing my tallit, amen, which I grew up wearing since I was 13 years old, just like little Elisha, amen. Always been wearing it when I worshipped in a synagogue, so why should I change? Praise the Lord. All right. So my answer is language, my friend. You see, God didn't mention the Holy Spirit in Exodus like he did in the book of John or the book of Acts, etc. No, instead, God gave Moses physical tools, a staff, a brother to speak for him, a bronze serpent as a precursor. Here's one last scripture, John 3. Let's read about the bronze serpent. Remember that bronze serpent from Numbers 14. Let's read in John 3 about that. Remember the God sent serpents among the people, and the serpents were biting the people and they were dying. And so he told Moses, the people cried out, "Save us, save us." So God said to Moses, fashion a bronze pole and make a bronze serpent and put it on the pole. Amen. That's the symbol of the doctors of the American Medical Association, is the serpent on the bronze pole, is the symbol of healing. Well, bronze is the color of judgment. Bronze is the color of judgment, and a serpent represents sin. So sin on the pole represents Yeshua. Yeshua became sin for us, right? So that's why when we read in John 3, let's look in verse 10, Yeshua answered him, "You're a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Amen, amen. I tell you, we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, yet you all do not receive our testimony. If you do not believe the earthly things I told you," remember, "how will you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up into heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on the pole, the bronze serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Whoever looked at the bronze serpent on the pole was healed. Whoever looks at Yeshua in the Spirit on the cross is saved. Amen? Whoever looks at Yeshua on the cross, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church who keeps him on the cross, but whoever goes to the cross spiritually and accepts Yeshua's atonement and sacrifice and his death and his burial and his resurrection, whoever believes and confesses will be saved. Amen? And healed. Yes, and healed. Hallelujah. So, that's why God... Isn't it interesting that John mentions a physical thing, a bronze pole and a bronze serpent, right before he says the most famous verse in the Bible? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Isn't it interesting that he talks about Moses right before that? And that Moses used a physical cross, if you will, with a serpent which represents sin. Remember Adam and Eve? The serpent was sin, was the devil. And Yeshua, it says, he became sin for us, for you and me, so that we might... He died and he became sin for us so that he might take our sins upon himself. He took our sins so that we might be forgiven. Amen. And that's what the bronze serpent was about. So that's why those two images are joined together right there, the cross and the bronze serpent. Okay, so let's finish up. So God gave Moses physical tools, a staff, a bronze pole, and a bronze serpent, a brother to speak for him. He gave Elijah and Elisha mantles he gave us Passover. He gave us the grape juice and the matzah to use to represent the body and the blood, to be a precursor of what the Messiah would do. Moses drew water from the rock. He turned the waters of Egypt to blood. He called forth frogs, flies, locusts, boils, hail, and the death of the firstborn, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet the Holy Spirit was not given credit. And so we don't give him credit for his work through Moses because it wasn't mentioned. Nobody gave credit. God didn't give credit to the Holy Spirit, to Moses, in Moses' writings. Just God. God was mentioned, not the Holy Spirit. All right. When Aaron and Hur lifted Moses' arms and the Israelites prevailed over the Amalekites, but when Moses' arms got tired and lowered and the Amalekites began to prevail, was it really Moses' arms that won the battle? Was it Moses lifting up his arms that really won the battle? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the symbol I'll say it right here, what it was. his arms lifted were a lesson for us in having our leaders' backs, or our arms in this case. We should support our leaders. They were supporting his arms. We support our leaders, and they win wars for us. General Eisenhower was the supreme Allied commander in World War II. He had the support of his generals, and he was able to accomplish the D-Day invasion miraculously without the Germans finding out. Amen. And the D-Day landing took place, and we freed Europe. We saved their heinies. Second time. First in World War I and again in World War II. And what do we get from Europe for doing that? Nothing. They gladly take from us, though. So, no offense to my European friends watching, I love you, and but the fact is true. When America's in trouble, I seriously doubt Europe's going to come to our rescue like we came to Europe's rescue. And if that offends you, forgive me. But I know we have folks watching from England and over there across the pond. So Shabbat Shalom. Let's go on. Was it really Moses' arm? So Joshua parted the Jordan River, as did Elijah and Elisha, but Moses parted the Red Sea. Which one was more difficult to do? Laugh out loud. Which was harder to do, part the Jordan River or part the Red Sea? Although the Holy Spirit was there with God in the beginning in Genesis 1, he isn't mentioned very much in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Why? Perhaps because God wasn't ready to reveal him to us yet, thinks I. Perhaps that's why we wrap the three pieces of matzah in white cloths at Passover, and only the middle layer, representing the Son of God, the Afikomen, is revealed, while the other two pieces are still wrapped. They remain hidden, representing God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, remain hidden. Is it because no man comes to the Father except through the Son? John 14:6. In other words, we had to learn about the Son first in order to get to the Father. Didn't matter if we knew about the Holy Spirit. We've always talked about God the Father. We sing about him. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Our Father, we sang it today. Avinu Malkeinu, maker of all things. We talk about the Father in Judaism, but no one gets saved by knowing the Father. And no one gets saved by knowing the Holy Spirit. You get saved by knowing the Yeshua. First you go through Yeshua, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And once you come to the Father and you know Yeshua, then you learn about the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's how it works. All right. Luke 1:35. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born from you will be called the Son of God." God told us in 1 Corinthians 10 that the rock that traveled with Moses and the children of Israel was Christ, was Messiah. But he never told us that in the books of Moses. He only told it in Corinthians, that Messiah was right there in the desert and the Holy Spirit was there. We weren't told that in the Old Testament. The truth was to be revealed much later. And when Samuel anointed David with oil, it says, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." 1 Samuel 16:13. Was it really David's great aim and his Nolan Ryan pitcher's arm that killed Goliath? Or was it the Ruach, the Spirit of God, that gave David the victory, the power, the favor, the love of the people, the success in future battles, the anointing and that created the jealousy of Saul toward him for 13 years? What was it, you know, that gave David such anointing, such separated him from all the others? It's the Holy Spirit. It certainly wasn't David. He was human, frail. He sinned with Bathsheba, and he messed up quite a bit. But God was with him. It was the Holy Ghost anointing on David. So what is the Holy Ghost anointing on you, believers? God says, these signs will follow those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I asked you before, I ask you again in conclusion, do you walk in these signs, fellow believer? If not, why not? Some will say, oh, that was for the apostles, but not for us. This message is not for you, friend. This message is for those who wish to move in the power of Moses. If you're stuck in that was for them and not for now, then this message isn't for you. Okay? If you're stuck there and that was then, not now, and you're ready to meet your God and tell him, well, I think it was for then and not for now. That's why I didn't do it. I would rather answer God and say, well, I did the best I could to do what your word said. coming to prayer would be a good start for some of you. And for those watching, we have prayer almost every night by phone. Sometimes we meet in person. If you're serious about praying and praying for America, praying for Israel, praying for salvation, praying for healing, if you'd like to pray with us, we pray almost every night. We've been praying for the last month, and Carol's been leading our prayer meetings, and we had wonderful prayer. I prayed with Carolyn and Carol last night. Dawn was praying all week long before. I wasn't able to until last night. All right, let's finish up. Last page here. I'm halfway through it. So this message isn't for you if you think it was first century. Do you walk in these signs, fellow believer? If not, why not? This message is for those who wish to move in the power of Moses, the power of David or Samuel, the power of the prophets, the power of Peter, Paul, and John, and the gentle, willing vessels, Mary and Elizabeth, the mothers of the Messiah, and John the Baptist, two of the greatest prophets that ever lived. Yeshua was the greatest prophet that ever lived, and John the Baptist was perhaps number two. He was the friend of the bridegroom, wasn't he? Amen. Mothers of the Messiah. So now you know what Moses' mojo was. What are you going to do about it? Please rise.
Okay, thank y'all. If I stand, we'll hear the Aaronic benediction. I think I'm up. Yeah, I'm up. Okay. God spoke to Moses, and he said, this is how you will bless my people when they come before me. This was the instruction that God gave Moses to give to Aaron. Yirach Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yo Adonai panavelecha v'kunika, Isa Adonai panavelecha v'yasim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you a shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the HaMashiach, the Son of God, our Messiah. Amen. Have a great Shabbat. Happy Mother's Day once again.